Everybody ready? Come on, let's go.
The Rick Flair Show! Let's go! The Rick Flair Show! Let's go!
Yo, what's up? This is Rick Thorne. Welcome to The Rick Thorne Show. I'm chilling on this episode. I'm with my buddy Aaron Rev from The Drowns, the band The Drowns. I love the name, dude. What are you doing?
I'm chilling, man. It's a cold morning here in Seattle right now.
It's always kind of cold and rainy up there, isn't it?
I'm chill with it, though, man. I'm a Northwest kid through and through, so.
I mean, it's cool. Like, I've been to Seattle quite a bit, and every time I've been there, I've had a good time. But it's known for, like, rainy weather, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. But you know what's weird, though? Like, people always equate it with, like, super rainy, over-the-top rain. But it's actually just a mild amount of rain all the time, whereas places like Chicago get hit with, like, shitloads of rain at once. We're not really like that. It's just you're going to get used to, like, wearing a hoodie all the time, which is chill.
I hear you. I'm from the Midwest originally, so the weather half the time the year is, like, horrible because it's too hot or it's too damn cold.
Yeah, me too.
Those winters are brutal, dude.
Yeah, so my family's from Minnesota, so I know that all too well, man. It's, like, annoyingly hot during the summer and then gnarly cold during the winter.
Yeah, without a doubt. The whole Midwest is like that quite a bit, you know. But Seattle's known for, like, having a really good music scene. How's the scene up there right now? Pretty good?
It's good, dude. You know, over the years, there's been a lot of ups and downs. It's funny because, you know, I've been playing punk rock for almost 20 years now. So, I mean, that's kind of my scene is not necessarily always been the popular one. And, yeah, you know, like, in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was that huge blow up and, you know, Warped Tour was all punk bands. And, you know, I was in high school, so it was cool that I was in, like, a punk ska band. And then all of a sudden, in the early 2000s, punk rock started to, like, peter off a little bit. And it became underground again in Seattle for a while, and now it's, like, on the rise. It's doing great again. So,
what year was that when you said, what year was it the punk rock kind of mellowed out a little bit?
Early 2000s, like, probably like 2004, 5, 6. We started, it went back from being, like, big club shows to a lot of, like, the real independent, legit punk rock shows in Seattle were house shows.
Oh, I see. Yeah, music changes. It goes through different waves, you know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of the cool thing about it, but at the same time, you got to stay consistent with what you believe in. I heard rumors back in the day, like when grunge was real popular, a lot of bands were moving there just to get signed, to say, like, hey, we're from Seattle.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that was
so crazy. That's so crazy. It's like, it's weird to me. I mean, I guess it's like whatever. I guess you got to do what you got to do. But that was probably pre-internet, you know what I mean? Like, that was like back. You know, like nowadays, you can just, you know.
I used to work for Pearl Jam back in the day. I worked for them for, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And it was funny hearing the stories from those dudes about, like, all that stuff, you know? Like, all of a sudden, there was just a surplus of bands. And there was just too many bands, you know? It was just so much that, like, I mean, I can kind of see it happening. It still kind of happens today, too, but there's a, it's almost like I can compare it to today on social media, you know? Like, in this era, I know a lot of bands who are really great at social media, but don't give a fuck about their songwriting, or, like, don't put that much time into, like, their song construction or getting great at their instrument. And I think it was kind of the same thing at that time, too, to where it was like, well, if we dress this way and we move to Seattle, we might get picked up. And so it's really similar today. It's like a lot of bands who are like, well, if we just blow ourselves up on social media, then, you know, then that'll be fine. You know, we'll look the look, and people will see our videos, and we'll get a bunch of followers. And it's kind of the same thing. It's like, you know, there's a lot of bands and folks who are more paying attention to that kind of stuff than actually, like, digging into the songwriting part of it, which is what I love about music, you know.
Yeah, it is crazy. You know, the thing I had to comment on social media is that, like, views and likes and people into your stuff is great, but that's not all of it. You know what I mean? Like too many people emphasize too much on just that. Like, I'm speaking from, like, a perspective of what I do and the things I do, music and writing and stuff, is like, but you also have events you go to. I'm talking, like, from a sponsorship perspective. Like, like, yeah, the views are great, but the way Instagram is anymore, like with their algorithm, is like half the people don't even see your shit.
You know, dude, Facebook same way. If you're
it's
not
crazy.
$150, $200 into advertising, no one's gonna give a fuck about the new music videos you get. You know, it's crazy.
It is crazy, and I tested it, too, because I was liking certain people's photos, right, on Instagram, and then all I saw was their shit, and I was like, okay, cool, like, all right, no problem, but then I'm like, I'm going to stop liking their photos and like other people's photos and see, and sure enough, only thing I saw was those people's photos. I'm like, this is crazy, like, you know, but if you get caught up in that whole, like, social media numbers thing, it could drive you loony bin, dude. It could drive you nuts.
Yeah, you know, my whole thing is that I started back in the day, because music was my escape, and I turned it into my passion, and it's never changed. So I kind of take that into how I listen to new bands or check out new bands, is that if I can't put your full record on and, you know, like, listen from one track to the first track to the last track and feel like you give a shit, I'm probably not going to give you a second listen. And maybe that sounds subjective, but I still really do care about, you know, people making records. It's still really important to me, and it's still my passion. You know, just yesterday, me and my wife went to our buddy's local record shop to try and, you know, it was the day after Record Store Day, but we went to try and support, and it's still a huge part of our lives. So when you've got bands that pour drastically more money into the advertising part of it, for me personally, it's a bit of a turnoff.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be, music's got to be good from the heart. I like music from the heart, where I could, like, I feel like, oh, they're really feeling that shit. Like, oh, I'm into this. You know what I mean?
Totally, man.
Not the smoke and mirrors so much of, like, I'm cooler than I actually am.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, that's part of it, right? It's just like, you know, you could, and I've been doing this for a long time. You know, you're in the same boat as I am. We've been able to meet a lot of our heroes in the music world, and a lot of, you know, like, people we look up to, and if that guy sucks, bummer, that dude still sucks, even if his records are good, you know, like, at the end of the day, if you're, I don't know, if you're not a good person, you're not a good person, and that's going to really carry with you almost longer than your records do.
You know, that's I agree with you. That's happened to me. I used to do a show for ESPN, and it was like 5 years I did the show, and I did a bunch of shit for MTV and interviewing bands and shit and all different types of people. And I interviewed a few people that I, like, looked up to. And then after I interviewed them, I was like, damn, I want a refund.
Yeah, dude.
Like, this is bullshit. Like, seriously, like, I want my money back. You can have the CDs, dude. Like, you suck.
It's funny because, like, I have the availability to be able to meet a lot of those folks, and my wife, who's the sweetest lady in the world and such a caring, compassionate person, has gotten to the point to where if I'm like, hey, like, if we go to see a band she loves, and I'm like, you want me to introduce you to the guys, I can sit us backstage and we can go do that. More often than not, she's like, no, I'm good. I want to just keep liking their records and hope they're good people. like, all right, I get it.
Exactly. Well, also, too, I think on the flip side of that is, like, maybe music, too, for some people, and I'm not making an excuse for someone that's an asshole. You're an asshole, you're an asshole. Is if you're, like, just socially not there. Like, if you can't, like, have a social conversation, but, like, through your music, you speak, and then you don't. Because I know dudes that ride bikes, and, like, they kill it on bikes, but then anything else, it just seems so socially awkward that I'm just like, weird. But I guess they just speak through their riding, you know what I mean? And so maybe
that's a really good point.
You know?
Yeah. I've been real fortunate in my career for the last, you know, 15, 20 years as a musician to be able to meet a lot of really great people. And a few of them, like, just as an example, my old band Success that I was in for, you know, 15 years, super fun, like, dudes I grew up with, still my best friends. We went on tour with 7 Seconds. And when we were on tour with 7 Seconds, every single member of that band were the sweetest dudes I've ever been on the road with. They were some of the greatest guys I've ever met, and they're all still really good friends. And I try to always think about that whenever I'm bummed about meeting somebody else that sucks. I'm like, all right, well, there's still hope out there. But to be fair, a lot of the folks, like the majority that I met, were not the best people in the world, musicians out there. You know, like, I get it. Folks like, you know, you and I, like, creative types, we are usually creating because it's coming from a spot of, I don't want to say lacking, but it's like we want to be creative to put out there because that's how we're able to kind of process emotions when you break it down really deeply, you know? And so artists like us are always wanting to create and make something new, but it makes it feel whole, it makes it feel real. And I feel like a lot of artists don't step outside of that and realize it for what it is, and they just start to think they're incredible for what they create. And that really starts to fuck with you on an emotional level. And a lot of those folks become really low. It's really sad. And I'm not making excuses for them. Like you said, you're an asshole. At this point, I've met so many of those people, and I have an understanding of, I think, creative-type people enough because I've met so many that it's easy for me to just brush it off and be like, okay, well, that guy's probably got a lot going on in his life that sucks, that's leading him to be, you know, kind of a dickhead. I know that this is being a creative-type person, especially nowadays, and trying to be a musician, it's really hard money-wise, too. So,
yeah, it
is.
It's
a dog-eat-dog world out there, and I think it's really important to think about people like 7 Seconds, for me, as a reminder of, like, how to be a good dude in the very end. You know, like, if people love my music, that rules, and I'm happy about it. But if they met me and they walk away going, that guy's a good dude, then that's where my job is done. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So how long has The Drowns been around?
You know what, man? It's crazy. The Drowns has only been around, it'll be a year in February.
Dang, man, you're moving quick, dude. That's sick.
Yeah, I was playing in that other band, Success, for years, which I still play with on and off, and then some of my best friends. Two of those guys have kids, and they have houses now, and, like, real legit jobs. And they wanted to slow down to be dads, which I'm 100% supportive of, because those two guys in that band that did that are my two best friends, and I love them with all my heart. And they're two of the best fathers out there. There was no way for me to ever be like, no, don't do that, let's keep touring, you know?
Right.
And so Success took a break, and I was like, I'm going to keep going. And those guys were super supportive of it. So another member of Success was Andy Wiley. He was playing keys in Success, and he's an incredible bass player. So I talked to Andy, and we started this project, and it only made sense to ask another good friend of mine from L.A., Jake Margolis, who I had toured with multiple times, and we had done tours together where he was in different bands. He used to be in Time Again. He used to be in Madcap. He plays for the Briggs, too. And so I was just like, hey, this is the first Smash. We all love each other. We all care about each other. We all like the same type of funk stuff. Let's make this happen. And then so we hustled for a year. We actually, before we had anything recorded, we did a West Coast tour that was incredible, which is kind of crazy. No one had heard our music at all. We had this really successful West Coast tour last year.
Awesome, dude. Well, I mean, that's amazing that you've moved. I didn't mean to say quick because, you know, you've been playing music, you said, 20 years, so it's not necessarily quick. You have experience and you've layered your work, but I'm saying, like, since I met you, I'm like, oh, you're doing a record, you got this tour, you're playing these big events. It's pretty rad, dude. I'm pretty excited for you, man. How you feel about everything?
I mean, obviously, I'm super stoked, and it's super great, but you know what, man? To tie our two conversations together, do you know why the Drowns were able to do this so quick in 1 year? It wasn't because the music was so good that it just broke through. It wasn't even that. It was that Andy, Jake, and myself over the last 10-15 years have made such an impression on people for being good guys that we were able to get enough help starting in the beginning. So it wasn't even like the music that really kicked it off. It was the fact that we've been friends with people and been, you know, we have a reputation for being really great, really reliable folks, and that's what helped kick us off, you know, so quickly.
That's awesome. You know, I've always said that too. Like, you know, we'd be doing a gig and you'd say, well, if you do good in this gig, there's no reason why they won't call you back. If you're cool.
Totally.
If you're a cool dude and you're good and you produce, then it's like there's absolutely no reason. I admire it, dude. I admire that you guys are all together pushing it because, you know, in my musical situation and how I got into music, and, you know, I was a pro athlete starting a band, and I had, you know, it was a lot different, and I've expressed that in different interviews to where it's like, man, I feel like I'm the only one ever promoting my band. And then after a while, you just kind of feel like not cheesy, but like, God, how do I do this without being cheesy? Like, we're dope, dude. We kill it. We're awesome. We're like, come to the show. I tear it up, man. It's like always just, it's like bike riding. Like, you know, I wouldn't say that as a rider, you know, come to the skate park. You're going to miss. If you're not there, you're going to miss out. Like, And because I hire all the dudes in my band are my friends, but I hire them, so it's kind of like, it's cool. I just wish that, you know, I thought when I had started a band, it'd be a bunch of dudes that had, like, you know, but it was a different situation. So I just always admire hearing guys that stick together, that are on the same page, that want to push something and have a good time. And I respect that, dude.
Yeah, you know, man, like, I totally understand where you're coming from, and it can be a really tough situation. You know, if you can only find someone who's on the same page as you musically, maybe, but you got to remember that if we're really trying to do this, then we're going to be in a van together for, you know, 12 hours a day on the road. So if you're not a good hang, then it's probably not going to work out, you know?
Exactly.
So finding dudes that you can really hang out with and, like, bro down with and aren't going to shit on you for, you know, like, the music you listen to in the van, or, like, you know, just simple respect stuff, like, aren't going to be dicks all the time. That's actually, like, the big trick of being in a band, is it's, like, you can always find dudes who will play music with you. I hate to say it, but that's pretty simple. You can find someone who will play music. Playing music is fun on a base level. Playing music is super fun. It's super easy to find folks. But finding folks that have a similar vision who also don't suck is so rough, you know? Like, so when you find those couple, you got to hang on to them.
No, you do. And my guitarist, we've been jamming together for like 7 years, and we've been through some shit. And like, me and him are cool. I'm cool with all the guys in my band. I mean, they're rad. They got to do what they got to do. They're in other bands. I get all that. You know, you're talking about being shit on. I did Warped Tour 1 year, and my band played, and I thought we were all in a band, like rah rah rah, let's go get them. And so, but we only did a couple weeks the second time I did it, and so we're heading home, and one dude in the band goes, "Hey man, I'm gonna stay on tour. I joined this other band." I was like, "What?" Yeah, and like, we're in this RV. I bought an RV and shit, and it was like barely making it. Like, and so then he's like, "Later," and just bailed. And I was like, "Did that just happen?" Like, so I was your little stepping stone. Like, the only song I could think of was "Minor Threat." You know, I ain't your stepping stone.
See that? Damn.
But yeah, you know, you could always find someone to play with. But what I like most about my situation is that at the same time, I'm used to being a solo artist. So like, you control your own image and shit. And so like with the band, it's like I pay for everything. So I own everything. And it's not like necessarily that's the way that I want it to be. But there are some advantages to it. Then you don't have any like button heads with like the vision and the image of the band. But totally. let's say your band, are you guys all equal on like decisions of artwork and obviously tours and stuff, but like the whole image or the whole vibe of the band, is that like a collaboration, or is one person a little bit more like steering the ship than the other? Cause someone has to, don't you think? Like, someone has to take a little bit more control than everyone just like arguing or not knowing what to do all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. So with my last band and this band, they're both kind of similar, to where I try to make it very, very apparent that everyone has input on everything.
Right.
But, you know, you can, if you don't like an image in a t-shirt design or an album design or something, then you can 100% be like, "Reb, that sucks. It looks fucking stupid." You know, and I'll be accepting of that and be like, "Okay, well, let's figure out something new." But I found at least that if one person is hearing and everyone else has input, then you usually get a better product. Because it is tough to kind of give everybody equal reign in that sense, because you've got to talk to agents. You've got to talk to tour managers. You've got to talk to record labels. You've got to talk to artists who are making your art. You know, you've got to talk to the student who's printing t-shirts. And it's actually a whole lot of shit to keep in one narrow, straight, single file line.
Right.
So it's good to have one person doing that part. But it's also good to have, you know, it's just like having a producer on a record. You need an outside opinion, or else it becomes really egotistically focused at times. And I feel like, at least with myself, you start to lose vision. Like, I have an idea of what I think the Drowns is, but it didn't become that until I got input from the other guy. Does that make sense?
Totally does. Totally
yeah,
does.
And so, like, as we were just saying about being a good hang, too, it's like, we were a three-piece last year, and we kind of were, like, totally fine with that. We care about each other, and you know, we wanted to find another, if we were going to find someone else, they have to be perfect for our vibe. And so when we started talking just a little bit, we've messaged a couple friends about finding a guitar player to play rhythm stuff. And I actually reached out to a friend of mine named Frank, who owns a guitar shop in Seattle called Thunder Road Guitars that sell all kinds of guitars. And I reached out to Frank because I've known him for a long time. And I actually asked him if he wanted to be in the band. I was like, hey, man, I know your business is doing incredibly well. Maybe you could take some time off. And he was like, look, man, I love you, but I can't make it happen. But I know this dude who I think you're going to love. And so I total blind dated this talk with this dude who a friend told me was just cool and was a good guitar player. And we met, we hung out, we bullshitted over like one beer. And then I was like, this is the dude. You know, he was a good hang. I could tell he was a good guy. And it's funny because I had actually never heard of like punk at all.
You never heard, but you never heard what?
I never heard him play guitar at all. Like, not one bit. I hadn't heard any of the music this guy had done at all. But I was
so,
like,
well, what was you like? Were you worried about that? Were you like, oh, man, this dude's cool, but then if he can't play, then shit. Oh, man.
You know, I feel like that probably would have been a good feeling for me to have. But I maybe egotistically was like, I can teach him how to play better if he sucks. Like, you know?
Right.
I was like, we'll figure it out. Like, it's pretty simple. It's punk rock, you know. It's four chords. We can make it work. But luckily, he was a great guy, and he's really talented. So now that's why Johnny has been in the band now for the last few months. But we kind of lucked out. And, you know, he happened to be a good hang, I guess, fit.
No, you keep saying, that's awesome, dude. And you keep saying good hang. I get that.
You know, I think you can, in talking about the good hang thing, you can totally tell, too. Like, maybe this sounds a little bit, like, contrived, but you can totally tell when someone is a solid person that's coming from a good spot. Like, you know, you and I, when we met, I was like, oh, this is my dude. Like, this is my people. Me and this dude are going to be friends. This is great, you know? And it was the same thing with when I met Johnny, when I met Andy, and when I met Jake. Each one of these guys, kind of, you know, within an hour of meeting them, I was like, well, good, they're a good person, and I know I can trust they're not going to be a douchebag. And maybe that's naive of me, but, you know, I do hope. I'm one of those suckers. I still have hope in the world. You know, I still think that we can turn things around. I still think that the world can become a better place. And I feel like I can read people pretty well. So I'm really lucky to have the band members that I have.
Yeah, man, you guys seem like real genuine good dudes. And like, you know, I don't really like to ask this question, but I have to, just so my listeners could understand the style of music that you play. What would you say your style of music is?
So, I mean, it's punk rock, it's rock and roll. For people who aren't like super into punk rock, or, you know, just know even the term punk rock on a basic level, it's easy for me to say things like, I want this band to be a modern version of Clash. That's a very simple way to put it. But
awesome.
There's a lot of influence that goes into it, you know. We have some political lyrics without getting too pushy on one side or the other, but it's important to be current and to talk about things that are impacting you. And unfortunately, a political climate right now is very much impacting us on a personal level.
You're saying you're fully into the politics right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not super into it, but it affects my life, you know, no matter
right.
what, just because of how intense everything is right now, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe not so much, I guess the word politics to me seems polarizing. It seems like I'm going to talk about candidates or something, but it's more like, you know, like we were talking about on a human level, I feel like politics is affecting people's empathy in the world right now. Like, there's a huge lack of empathy. Like, there's this, NPR actually just did an article, I think it came out like today or yesterday, about, like a huge lack of empathy, like, no one else has that, walk a mile in your shoes kind of mentality anymore, you know? Like, it's
no.
really tough in this day and age, like, there's not that many people thinking about other people's position. And I think that's what I mean when I say the word political. It's not like that I'm talking about, you know, fucking Republicans and Democrats in my lyrics, but what I am talking about is the fact that this social political climate has made it so that we don't care about our fucking neighbor anymore. And that's crazy.
Hey, I like your vibe here. It reminds me of like what some Fugazi shit.
I mean, that's my blood, man.
Yeah. I'm with that. Like I guess I could agree with you on where you're coming from when you say it in those terms for sure. But finish what you were saying.
Yeah, but so the only there's a bit of that going on lyrically, and then, but also, you know, there's songs about drinking and having a good time because we're a punk rock band and we sing about what we know. From a musical influence, it's like a lot of early punk rock, like a lot of like 77 stuff, a lot of British stuff. Like I'm a huge fan of the Jam.
Awesome.
So there's a lot of that in there. But you know, it's a modern version of all of that. It's weird, and it's almost like a sub influence. But we're all huge 50s rock and roll fans. So like, you know, like Buddy Holly and like all these like 50s rock and roll, like real simple, real sit down rock and roll songs is important to us too. And so we used a lot of those, especially on the newer stuff that we've been doing. It's a lot of like that type of influence. We don't have a lot of high gain guitars. It's not like a lot of pedal riffs going on. It's like very stripped down rock and roll, but with punk rock parts.
Awesome. Yeah, I love your guys' sound. I totally dig it. It makes me want to like go ride, you know what I mean, and get hyped up. So I dig
that. Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's the stuff I like. And I love the fact that you're into the 50s. 50s were cool, man.
Yeah, you know what? For musically, like, just yesterday, me and my wife were talking about Richie Valens. You know, it's like, musically, there was such this incredible vibe going on at that time that I love putting those records on. Like, I work at a bar here in Seattle when I'm in town, when I'm not on tour. And I love putting on 50s and 60s, like, rock and roll stuff because I don't want to say no one hates it, but it's tough to be in a bad mood when, like, you know, like, these great songs are playing. It's kind of just a good vibe, and I love a lot of the guitar work. As a guitar player, I love a lot of the guitar work from that era.
Yeah, well, the vibe was, like, really, like, up. Yeah, and all the music was badass. But do you think that there's a lot of negativity in music nowadays?
You know, that's a tough question to answer, only because, yes, I think there's always been negativity in a sense in music, right? It's like,
right.
You know, you got to figure, like, think about the blues. Like, I love the blues, you know? Like, I'm a huge Muddy Waters fan. Like, yeah, and technically that could be negative in a sense because it's sad and it can be, you know, almost morose at times or melancholy. And I think that's always been in music, and it's important to say that that type of negativity is still very important. But there is a lot of bullshit negativity in music, for sure. Like, a lot of people just being assholes to be assholes. You know, there's a lot of, like, I don't want to shit on Morrissey, but there's a lot of that, like, you know, kind of, like, self-importance in music that is so fucking stupid to me.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
My taste personally, you know. It's like, I hear stuff like that, and I'm like, fuck you. Like, buy an island. Go live on the island by yourself if you're that, like, upset and lonely. And hate it. That's totally cool. You know, like, don't be lonely. I don't want to hear it, you know. I like putting on records that when I put the record on, I escape whatever I'm doing for that amount of time, you know. Like, it makes me feel good when I'm done listening to it. And, yeah, there are some times when I'll put on, like, Jawbreakers Dear You because I'm bummed out and I'll listen to this record, you know?
Right.
But I think, yes, like, to bring this conversation full circle to what we first started talking about, because of the internet and social media age of music now, shock value becomes a thing, you know? People
right.
will just be a dick because it'll get people to follow them or likes on fucking Facebook or, you know, streams on Spotify because they said something super fucked up. And I think that's the negativity that sucks about music. That idea, the idea that if I say this thing that has nothing to do with me, you know, from an emotional level, I have nothing to do with this statement. But if I say it, people will listen. I think that's the type of negativity that sucks music right now.
The kind of music that I grew up, like, see, I grew up as a punk rocker, and you had different types of punk rock even back then, right? And people were singing totally. About different things. And I always liked the DC movement, the positive, like, for a change, you know what I mean? Like,
totally.
And And I feel like that's kind of like what you're doing, but with like kind of a more of a rock and roll vibe that you got going on. Am I right with that?
Yeah, I think that is a huge compliment, man. That is definitely what I'm trying to do. You know, at the end of the day, it all comes down to what you really want. I want to be stoked. Like, in my life, I want to be stoked. Call me a pussy, but I want to be fucking stoked, you know? Like, I want to be happy, and I like listening to music that invokes that same feeling, and I like listening to music that I think the person's singing and I can see eye to eye on it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why, like, we're talking about, you know, 7 seconds and minor threat and this, like, positive pushing movement in punk rock. That's the kind of shit that, you know, gets me going. That's the kind of shit that I love. So I try to just do that same thing. You know, I try to carry on that same vibe because it makes me happy. Because at the end of the day, if you want to be bummed, be fucking bummed. I'm not going to tell you not to, you know? But, like, I want to be fucking stoked, and I want to play music that gets other people stoked.
And I just, you know, it's good to have different types of music for different vibes that you have in life. But at the end of the day, at the same time, you want to perform music that's fun, that you want people to feel good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't want to bring people down. At least I wouldn't want down, you know?
Well, the thing is, if that type of music, if music that brings you down or brings people down is what inspires you, more power to you. Like, go do your thing, you know? I hope that even if it's a bummer, at the end of it all, you're happy about it, you know? Because if not, then why the fuck are you doing it? But for me, like, it's just positive sometimes, good energy is what keeps me going. That's why I keep making the music that I do over all these years. And I've been shit on a ton for it. Like, with my old band, Success, like, that was our whole vibe, you know? It was like, be stoked. And it was albums about, if I wrote about a problem, like something that happened to me, it was a positive version of that. How did I overcome the problem? I didn't write the song and go like, oh man, this girl left me and shit was fucked up and what am I going to do now? It was like, this girl left me and this is how I got over it, you know?
Positive place, right? Because you got to sing it.
Well, yeah, and it's just, I mean, maybe it's just personal experience, but it's a fucking bummer to think about like shit that sucks. Like, to think about, you know, like, let's say you have a song about like someone passing away. I totally understand that, like, writing a song about that person is important, and it's good to get that out. And I have done that multiple times. But in the same sense, it's a bummer to think about that every night because I miss that person, you know?
Yeah.
So it's all about, like, balancing out your message, for me at least. And it's about giving a positive twist. So if I'm going to write a song about someone that I lost, who meant a lot to me, in the very end, I want that song to be that. I want it to be, they meant a lot to me. And that to be the message, not like, it sucks, they're gone. You know, like, singing, it sucks, they're gone every night is going to tear me up because I have a connection to my music, you know? Like, I feel that vibe every night. That song that I'm singing that I wrote years ago, I'm drumming up the exact same feelings that I had when I wrote that night on stage years later when I'm performing it for someone, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to put myself in that same mindset that I had. So I always leave every song on my set, it's like a fucking bummer. Sooner or later, you know, your mind, your brain craves routine. So if you give it bummer enough, it's just going to crave bummer, you know? Like,
well, I think downer music's good for, like, I don't know if it's good, but maybe it's just like a reminder to, like, you like mourn on something, or not mourn, but like, well, death for sure. But like you're bummed about something, then you snap out of it. Like, you know, like,
totally
play some Metallica. Get out of this. You know what I mean? Like, or I could play a song like November Rain and cry about my second ex-wife over and over and over again. And I stopped doing that shit a long time ago. Now I listen to Red. I'm seeing red.
You know what? Anytime you wanna be bummed and you wanna sing Prince by yourself when you're bummed, I want you to call me and we will sing Purple Rain together and we will cry together.
Oh no, November Rain, Purple Rain too. We could do a fucking rain. We could do Dancing in the Rain or Singing in the Rain. Purple Rain, November Rain.
You know? I'm just saying, I got you. I will sing those sad songs for all this.
We could play some Slayer too. Get in that shit, dude. Let's do it. Yeah, no, for sure, man. You know, and music, and I wanted to ask you, because you guys just recently signed to another label, right?
Yeah, we're putting out a 7-inch this summer with Pirate Press out of the Bay Area.
Sick, dude. I wanted to ask you, how important is it to have a label?
So it has a lot to do with, for one, like, you know, I can't assume that everyone who's listening to this podcast is inspired by punk rock, right? So I got to speak from the punk rock community.
Got it.
You know, because it's very different with, like, metal labels and pop labels, things like that. But from my own experience, there's a ton of stuff you can do on your own. You know, there's shit on it. You can put your stuff on Spotify. You can pay to press your own vinyl. You can book your own fucking tour. You can do all of it. The internet is fucking great for that. And I did it for a really long time. My old band, you know, I was in that band for 15 years, and for the first, like, 8, we made no fucking money, and we had to do everything on our own. But I did it because I loved it.
Right.
And in doing that on my own, I was able to create a good amount of interest in my band. And so I think it's important to think of everything you can do on your own at the beginning is very important. And if you can do it on your own, you can do it for cheap, and you'll get a good result, do it. Right? But you get to a certain level that then your reach only goes so far. One thing that a label is really good for is expanding your reach. Like, let's say you signed to Fat Records, right? Fat Records has been around for a long time. They have, you know, hundreds of thousands of fans all over the world. Your band does not.
Right.
So when you sign to a label like that, instantly your name gets thrown in the air. And all these people see it that were never going to see it before if you were trying to do it on your own.
Correct.
And so that's one huge thing that a label can do for you, is that it's nowadays with social media, I sound like I'm shitting on social media, but
no.
Nowadays with social media, I feel like most people aren't going to listen to a band unless someone else said they were cool.
Yeah, well, it's the hype. You know what I mean? Like you got no one hyping you up. And that's what I said earlier. Like, yo, my name's Rick. I'm a Good Guys in Black. I know I ride bikes, but my band's the sickest shit.
Yeah.
Stupid, man. You know, I think of this all the time. So, anyways, back to the label. Yeah. Label gets you out there, hype you up, right?
Well, the label is that cool friend to everybody else, right? The label is like, this band is cool enough for us to invest money in them. You should check them out. And that's a huge, huge bonus, because that instantly broadens your range. Another thing being on a label does for you is it can help you get connections when it comes to a booking agent, when it comes to, working with different producers, different people to record your record. They've accumulated all these connections over the years, and those connections that they have trust in the bands that they're sending them.
Right.
So, you know, it's a network. And that, to me, that's the big bonus. And I will say one thing, especially with Pirate Press, the label that we just signed to, one thing is that they are passionate about what they do, and they're good folks, and they care about the records that they put out, and they really want to put out a good product that looks cool, that sounds cool, and they want to put out products that people are going to tour on, and bands are going to be able to go, you know, get those records out. So
right.
for us, you know, yes, we put out our first record by ourselves. We had two friends of ours who had different labels. We asked them to contribute money to the release, and our three labels paid for it, but we essentially did a DIY pressing set for Fritz, and it did really, really well. We could have definitely put out the 7-inch on our own, but Pirate Press has A, got us that wider audience, B, has helped us make a really great product. Like, I'm stoked to put the 7-inch out because they helped with the art, they helped with all of the design of it, and they are helping us promote it, and they're good people, and I stand behind the bands that are on their label. So it's a cool, it's more like, it's a networking thing, really. Like, finding a good label can help broaden your network, I guess, in a simple way.
I like your insight on the label, dude. I mean, I think that's, you know, there's some really good benefits. It seems like you've teamed up with a good label, so I'm really excited for you guys. What do you guys? I don't want to date things too much, but you told me you have some events coming up.
Yeah, we're playing Back to the Beach Fest in Huntington Beach at the end of this year, end of this month, and that's coming up. We're going on tour this summer. We're playing Punk Rock Bowling. We're playing Rebellion Fest in England. Our 7-inch is going to come out at Punk Rock Bowling this year. We're real stoked on that. And we just recorded a full length that, and your listeners won't know this, but you know, because you know, D. Rick Thorne sang background vocals on our record, which
I did.
Awesome.
Dude, I was stoked, dude. And that's basically like, I mean, that's the first time we really met.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was great. It was just like a party. It was like a bunch of friends hanging out. And, you know, so it was cool to have everybody in the studio towards the end of the recording there.
No, it was a big party, and I met a lot of cool people there, and you guys are really rad dudes. And can we play a song? Would that be okay, or is your label cool with it? Are you cool with it?
Yeah, of course, man. Do whatever you want. Fuck it.
I mean, like right now, like we'll throw to a song. What song would you like to play? And tell me about the song, and then we'll throw to it.
Oh, man. Let's do Eternal Debate. I'll see you from the bottom.
All right, let's do it. What's the song about?
That song, that could tie our conversations together. That was my song about people talking shit on the internet rather than getting out and doing anything with their life. More being, like, pissed off and almost, like, finding their passion in talking shit on the internet than actually, like, going out and doing what makes them happy.
Awesome. You want to throw to it, dude? Do it.
You are now listening to Eternal Debate by The Drowned, which if it doesn't make you stoked, then I'm not doing my job correctly.
If we could find a way to take back everything and learn to live another way, maybe we could break these chains out. Maybe we could solve the problems of today. My people with no food and no place to stay. Instead we're locked in eternal debate, clinging to our clutches where we are today.
Sick, man. I'm really stoked for you guys. I really am. You got a lot of shit going on. You got your label.
Thanks,
you got shows. But it ain't nothing new. It's like, as I said this before, people will see a band and be like, who's this? Who's this new band? And they'll be like, oh, The Drowned. Well, why are they on tour? Where did they come from?
Exactly.
And you're like, oh, I've been in this shit 20 years, dude. And you're like 19. You know what I mean? Like you're like, where have I been? Shit. What do you know? People are like that, right? I you know, before I was into music, I was probably like that. I was like, oh, who's
this? Yeah, I mean, we all were, dude.
Yeah, who's this?
Dude, real quick, I was thinking about what I just said about labels, and I should probably add, if you're a younger listener, or not younger, but you're trying to be a musician, here's my two rules to making people give a shit about your band and making your band more successful. These are my two absolutes. One, go on tour. Fucking tour. Get on the road and go, because you're going to broaden your audience instantly. Two, don't be a dickhead ever. Those are my rules.
That's it. Yeah, those are good rules to have. I mean, you know.
Before you look for a label, before you look for anyone outside to help you out, do those two things. Go on the road and be nice to fucking everybody.
Yeah. Oh, I love, dude, I love talking to you. I love your insight. I love your band. I love your whole vibe. I wish nothing but the best for all of you. I know good things are coming your way. I'm stoked you're playing Punk Rock Bowling, too. That's amazing. Hyped for you guys, bro.
Thanks, brother. Hey, what, so can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah, you could ask me a question.
I was watching your show where you guys speak out fools and you fucking crush them. And
hell yeah.
One of those episodes was with Steve Caballero.
Yeah.
He was I was such a huge fan when I was a kid. Like, he was like my number one sports fucking hero.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Tell me he's a good dude. That's all I want to hear.
Caballero. Oh, man. Okay, check it out. Cab's one of my favorite people in the world. I've learned a lot from Cab. I've toured with him I met Cab in 95. We clicked right away. Mm-hmm. He's the most grounded, down-to-earth dude. And the person you see on, like, social media and the videos and skating is the person he is. He doesn't put on any kind of, mask or, like, try to be cooler than he is or any of that kind of crap, right? And
yeah.
And he's very like positive. He turned me on to PMA. He bought me a shirt one time that said Positive Mental Attitude, and we were on Warped Tour. And I'm like, what the hell's that? And he gave it to me. And that's where I learned about PMA.
Awesome.
And the thing about Cab is that there's a reason why he's so good at everything that he does. Artwork, moto, skating, his band, like very diversified. Like, I've always admired him for that. And I just want to say that it's because of his positive mental outlook as a human and as, like, his wisdom and just that he naturally has. He's the coolest guy, man. I'm telling you, he's the most optimistic, coolest guy. So to answer your question, Cav is a rad dude, man. And there's a reason.
Oh, that rule.
And there's a reason why he's been in the game this long. It goes back to what you were saying. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, totally.
You know, you want longevity, awesome, you know. So Cab's the best, dude. I mean, I love him with all my heart. He's a rad dude. So hopefully you guys can meet one day. You'd be stoked.
Yeah, and the Faction fucking rips.
Dude, we grew up listening to the Faction. Oh, my gosh. We actually went last year and saw Rancid play with Faction up north. And
so rad.
Do you know the story about that? That, like, Faction was playing in this backyard, and the kick drum was moving forward, and Lars sat in front of it so it wouldn't move. And there's a photo online. If you go on Lars's Instagram, you got to scroll back a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why it's funny that Lars was, like, at a Faction show. And so that show was kind of like it was like not a reunion, but kind of like, we love you guys, you know, kind of thing. And during the set, during the Faction set, Lars went up and sat in front of Faction's kick drum.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was pretty cool.
Oh, that's rad.
Yeah,
all those
dudes are cool. All right, so the Drowns. I forgot to ask you one thing before we go. How'd you come up with the name The Drowns? The Drowns, baby.
I was really just looking for something that, you know, it's so hard to find something that's not been a band name already. You know, it in this day and age, there's so many fucking bands that even if you find something that seems unique and you're like, oh, this is it, you know, you look up something and you're like, oh, shit, that was like a rock band from the Czech Republic in the 80s. Like, I can't fucking use that name because they could sue me for it. So,
yeah,
I like the idea of, like, almost this like melancholy, whimsical idea of like, I like the word drown a lot, like drowning, like drowning your sorrows. I had a song about like drinking a bunch and when you're sad and trying to figure out your life when you're sober. And I like the word drowns a lot, or drowning. So it just kind of stuck with me. Kind of a drowning your sorrows idea. And then I was like, well, the drowns technically isn't a word. Like, you would never say the drowns in a sense. You would say, like, drown or drowning or, like, say drowns. But that helps because no one's going to fucking have that because it's bad English. So
well,
really,
it depends on where you live. Depends on where you live.
Yeah, that's true.
Yo, homie over there, he done drowns up in that pool right over there, right there, there, there. Did he drown? Did he drown in the pool? Dang!
So I just lucked out that, like, nobody had it. So to be honest, it was me searching for something that nobody had in the band.
Do you have, that's rad, dude. I love the name. What's your Instagram and Facebook and all that, you know, so people listening could say, I'm going to check these guys out, go see you guys play.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's We Are the Drowns is the way to find the band anywhere. It's pretty simple to, even a Google search will get you everything you want. If you guys want to follow us on social media and come along for the ride and you're down to listen to punk rock that gets you stoked, then we're the band for you, I guess.
Awesome, dude. And you got your tour schedules and all that on there, obviously. So anyone out there, go follow the Drowns. Go check them out. Rad dudes, rad music, rad set, good time. Dude, I appreciate you coming on the show. I wish you nothing but the best of luck to you and all your whole crew, your whole band, everybody. Much love.
Thanks, Rick. You know, I got nothing but love for you, man. Thank you so much.
All right, stay rad, brother.
Bye, bud.